is, okay?
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so obviously the big question is why come back now? 2010, you've accomplished so much in the sport. Why do you feel the need to come back?
Wow, it's a double-edged sword. I kind of like, a buddy of mine, Brian Knobbs, has a wrestling school, and I didn't know I was possessed or perverted or whatever it is, but I went to the opening of his wrestling school. And I've never been to a wrestling school where it's air conditioned and the school is so nice. And I happened just to walk by the ring and I kind of brushed the corner of the ring with my left hand, And when I did, I got goosebumps. I mean, I got chilled from head to toe. And I said, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And the more I hung around and I got in the ring and started working out with the guys and I can't even really roll around anymore. Just walking up and walking around with the guys. I said, "Man, I missed this so much." And I quit watching wrestling a few years ago, and people had told me that, "Oh, I can't even watch wrestling anymore." And I didn't understand what they meant, But I kept watching wrestling, and then I catch myself clicking over like to OCC Chopper or to different shows, and then I wouldn't go back to wrestling. And then it got to the point where I couldn't even watch wrestling anymore. They just what they'd done with the product, it was this contrived programming that they were just, stuffing down people's throats. And it wasn't like the good old days, And not that I want to bring wrestling back to the good old days, but it wasn't entertaining. The characters weren't larger than life. It wasn't like the water cooler talk the next day. So the reasons for coming back to wrestling are twofold. It's a double-edged sword for me. Number one, I'm addicted to it. I just love the business. And the more I watched it, I said, I don't know if it's because the universe is moving faster. There's so many choices on cable and satellite that, you have to start a fight with Andre the Giant, at 9 o'clock, and the match has to be over by 9:45. Because when I started a feud with Andre the Giant, it was like a 2-year-long feud, and then it ended at WrestleMania 3. So the programming moves so fast, the wrestlers are like robots, there's no more larger than life characters. So I wanted to get back into the business simply because I wanted to see if I could pass on the art form and teach these guys that the emotion and the excitement and the drama and the danger and the laughter and the comedy, you guys are missing it. And so I was thinking about going back to work with Vince, and up until about a month before I signed the TNA contract with Dixie Carter, I've been talking with Vince back and forth. I wasn't trying to leverage anybody, but I was just trying to see where the best place was to go. And Vince McMahon wanted me to come back for 25 years. I'm 56 years old. He offered me a 25-year contract. He needs the Hulk Hogan names and the marks and the licensing, which I own. And I understood that business part, but the more I thought about the nepotism and the good old boy system there, and I know that story. I walk out and I get cheered off the top of the building, or I get booed out of the place. Either I get cheered greatly or booed greatly, and which either one of those happens, I'm in trouble because if I take too much of the spotlight in the WWE, they put a bullet in me right away. And I know the end of that story, so I said, you know what? This TNA company has been just really, really, really consistent. They've been on Spike for 7 years. They're like the little engine that could. I made the decision to go back to work because those guys will listen, they're not jaded, and that's why I wanted to go back to wrestling. Number one, to be involved because I'm like a drug addict. I love the business. I just want to be there. I'm an addict. I'm a wrestling addict, and I think I can help these guys make this larger than life, make real characters, and really make it fun again.
You mentioned that you can't roll around as much as you could have in the past. So will you be involved in a wrestling capacity or more like a figurehead role, something like that?
Well, right now, Dixie Carter brought, and this is probably the only way I can explain it, and it's the perfect way, and I don't mean to use this guy's name over and over again, but I have to because he's so good at what he does. They're bringing me in to be the Vince McMahon for TNA. If you were to hire Vince McMahon, if Dixie Carter was to hire Vince McMahon and say, "Go in and do what you do," that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure from the beginning of that show to the end of the show, everything that goes on in that company, from the promotion, the licensing, the merchandise, advertising. I'm going to make sure everything that goes on in that company I have a handle on.
Do you believe, as though, you know, people have said in other sports, you get this with Brett Favre even recently, and guy in combat sports like Muhammad Ali, that guys just stick around too long. Have you thought about that? About, you know, because your legacy is just tremendous in terms of pop culture and sports entertainment. It's obviously number one. Have you thought about, you know, sticking around too long and maybe damaging that?
You know, it's kind of weird because if you're talking about my performance. I wrestled last month in Australia. You know, I wrestled 10 days in Australia. Actually, it was only 4 days out of a 10-day period. And then I haven't wrestled before then for about a year, and I ran an independent show in Memphis where I wrestled the big show. And then a year before that, I wrestled Randy Orton. The year before that, I wrestled Shawn Michaels. And even then, even if I was digressing, backing up, I shouldn't have been in the ring because I was a step slower. My back hurt. My knees hurt. Then if I even back up farther than that, and I go way back to when I wrestled The Rock at WrestleMania 18, I barely pulled it off then because my body was so beat up. And so if you're talking about staying around too long, physically and slowing down, and there's been certain wrestlers going, well, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I totally agree with that. But for some reason, the people don't expect me to jump off the top rope and scissor drop kick you. The people don't expect me to go to the top of the cage and dive 50 feet and land on the concrete floor. The people just, for some reason, were so loyal to Hulk Hogan and a positive character, they just wanted to see me. And, you know, if they would booed or laugh when I pulled a headband off because I'm more bald-headed than I used to be, if they would have, you know, laughed because, you know, I can't run across the ring fast like I used to. But for some reason, just the character of the old, salty wrestler that's laughed at the test of time, the character that he's beat up and his leg hurts, and they know that I can't, you know, body slam Andre the Giant anymore because my back hurts too much. That doesn't matter. They just love and respect that old-time character. It's like the fighter that's so beat up he can't even hold his gloves up anymore. For some reason, there's so much loyalty and respect. I still go out and entertain those people, even though I'm around too long. And for some reason, maybe it's ego, maybe it's just because I love the business, but if I could go down there in a wheelchair and have a fight with a giant, I would probably still do it because I just love it. And it's an exhibition, you know, and the guy that I'm wrestling, if, you know, if my knee is so bad, you know, I can't fall on my knees, I'll tell the guy and say, hey, brother, let's tear the house down and just be careful of the knee. So I totally agree with sticking around too long. And I probably have as far as going in the ring and wrestling. But for some reason, those damn fans just keep screaming, one more match, one more match. So I totally get it. And you're right. And I probably did stick around too long.
But it's safe to assume, you made the comparison to Vince, and he, you know, once a year or so gets in the ring. It's safe to assume at some point you will compete in a match for TNA, right?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Okay.
Vince isn't beat up like I am. I don't know how old Vince is. I'm 56. Vince is probably 62. 63, I'm not sure. But Vince didn't have 30 years of, you know, when I was wrestling, there was no Stone Cold and there was no Rock. I mean, I was the only guy for 25 years, you know, and in the last 5 years, the Rock and Stone Cold came in and, you know, Hulk Hogan was watered down. But, I mean, you know, Vince wasn't beat up like I was. I mean, I was wrestling 400 days a year, you know, Saturday and Sunday twice, Wednesday nights I was wrestling twice. Vince has probably had 10 matches in his whole career.
Right.
You know, so Vince can still, you know, duck walk down there, you know, and play his character. And I have no contract to wrestle with TNA. I was trying to explain to Dixie the problem I'm going to have, though, is if you're going out there and you're, you know, doing your dissertation and talking to Sting and talking to the talent or in the back, setting the record straight or breaking matches or if someone disagrees with me, and all of a sudden, the whole arena starts going Hogan Sting, Hogan Sting, then you get a problem because you actually do have to give the people what they want compared to what the WWE does. They just give them what they decide to give them. You know, the people, sometimes they predict the flow, and that's what I'm worried about, because I can't get in there and tear it up anymore. My back is, I had three back surgeries this year. I barely made it through Australia.
And if you don't mind me asking, how long is your contract with TNA for?
I'm not sure. I think it's a year with rollovers, you know, if we're both happy. It's definitely a year. It's not any shorter than that. But it's something that we both want to work together, and we both agree that if we don't get along, or Dixie and I, 2 or 3 weeks into this thing, and she goes, Hogan, how come you're letting the Martians wrestle the elephants? That's not what we want. We agree to disagree, and we've made that real clear that if they don't like the direction I'm going in, or if they can't handle the change, or if they think I'm wrong, that I'll just walk away, or you know, whatever you want to call it, they'll fire me, or I'll quit, or whatever.
Right.
But it's not something that, you know, we wanted to have the flexibility, because I want to do a lot of different stuff, brother. I mean, I've been watching TNA, and they've got a ton of talent there, and they do a lot of things right. And I'm not trying to compete with Vince, or I'm not trying to hurt Vince McMahon, but I just want to put out a better product than he does. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was more to that point. You know, obviously, well documented in front of the camera, your relationship with Vince Russo, who's sort of the head of the creative there. Is that going to change now once you come in? Because it seems as though you're going to have, you know, you're going to be the guy in front of the camera, the Vince McMahon role. But it sounds from what you're saying, also behind the scenes in terms of putting together the storylines.
Yeah, well, I'm involved from, you know, writing the shows to, you know, saying goodbye at the end of the night to planning the merchandise and the licensing, and if we should keep doing house shows, if they're not, if there's not a return on the investment, if they're viable or not. And Vince Russo's an issue. I mean, IP works for me now. And if it was the old Hulk Hogan, or if it was the old school wrestling mentality, like a lot of the fans say, just fire his ass, get rid of him, Hogan, you know. You know, that could have happened, you know, because he when he came to WCW, the first statement he made before he ever met me was, the first thing I'm doing is getting rid of Hulk Hogan. And that was in a booking committee with Kevin Sullivan and a bunch of other wrestlers. And that's the first thing he said. He never met me. So, you know, he fired me because he was in that position at the time. And I had 2 years left of my contract, and I was making $1 million a month at the time. You know, so that's a lot of money just to pull out of somebody's pocket and fire somebody when you've never met them. And so that old mentality is not there for me, because I have gone through so much in the last couple of years in my life. You know, this is the real me now. I totally understand that everybody, you know, I can forgive, but I can't forget. And you get all, you know, leopard doesn't change their spots. So, you know, I got to really be aware of it. I'm not walking in there to fire Vince Russo the first day. You know, I'm not walking in there to fire Terry Taylor the first day. I'm walking in there going, okay, guys, it's a new day, and I hope everybody here has something to contribute, because I learn from everybody. I listen to everybody. You know, I mean, even my next-door neighbor said something about wrestling last night. It was one of the best ideas I've ever heard. So I listen to everybody, and it goes with Vince Russo, you know. With Russo, I come in peace. I love you, mother. No problem. But and you know, history's not going to repeat itself here. And if you try to undermine me, or if you try to underwrite my storylines, or you try to do anything to hurt me or sabotage me, I've got my eye on you. But instead of me just knocking you out, or instead of me just firing you, I have an open mind. And how good of a writer are you? What do you really know about this business? What can you really contribute to this business other than just blocking out a 2-hour show and doing the transitions and the inserts and the pre-tapes and keeping the flow good enough to hopefully keep people interested? I mean, how good are you really? So, I mean, there's an issue there with him, which has to be addressed.
Okay, and
Hey, we only have time for one more question. Sorry.
Just one more?
No, we're good, brother. We're good.
Oh, we have another one to get to, Hawk. Sorry.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
All right, could I get three more in there? Is that possible?
Yeah, three more.
We'll give you another 5 minutes.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, just based on learning, did you learn anything from your time in WCW because you were, you know, so closely linked there to now that you will learn to, like, maybe, you know, try not to recreate the same issues again?
Oh, brother, did I ever learn. Oh, my God, did I ever learn. And Eric Bischoff learned, too, because, you know, I get in there and we hit on something. We hit on something. We get a real edgy theme going with the NWO, and it changed wrestling. But what happened was a lot of guys that were there, yeah, we'd rather talk than wrestle, you know. We're the bomb. We're the shit. Eric got too full of himself. I let things slip through my fingers because when I was there every week with Eric, you know, it basically ran like a clock. But I wasn't making all the Nitros and the Thursday Night Thunders. I was making like every other one. And when I wasn't there, that whole team wasn't working together, me and Eric and a couple guys. And I learned, because Vince was against the ropes, Vince McMahon was literally ready to close his doors and file bankruptcy. We had beat him for 2.5 years in the ratings. And we had 3 times the audience he had. He was ready to shut his doors. And we made a couple big mistakes. And there was American Online merger. And they didn't want, with Time Warner, they kicked my guy, Ted Turner, to the curb, put him in some back room. And we never even heard from him anymore. And he loved wrestling. And American Online and the merger didn't want wrestling as part of their portfolio. So I've now learned not to get too full of yourself. This is 24 hours a day. You know, you can't actually put out a better product than Vince if you're going to vacation, go to the Bahamas, take time off. It doesn't work that way. You're in it to win it. I'm guaranteed one Monday night. And if I do get, because I'm going up against Goliath, I'm going to a gunfight with a pea shooter, you know, and Vince is going to load his show and front load everything and do everything he can to destroy us. He tried to destroy me in Australia. So I've learned to stay on it and don't take my eye off the ball this time.
Okay, just a couple more. I just want to get your thoughts on MMA. You're at a UFC event, and obviously people have said, you know, MMA is taking a little bit of the market away from the wrestling audience. So what do you think of their rise? Is this something that you can you appreciate it, or do you think that it's just two different forms of entertainment? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, MMA, you know, is spanking the WWE as far as the pay-per-view stuff. They're Dana White, and the UFC's done an amazing job. And it's all about timing. Once again, the UFC was ready to close its doors. They were losing a ton of money. They were going under. They were getting ready to go out of business. And then they did a reality show called The Ultimate Fighter. They developed the characters. They made people care about the fighters. The people found out who the fighters were. They breathed life into the fighters. That's what I want to do with TNA. They've got the best talent in the world down there. But no, breathe life into the characters like John Cena, who started out as a nobody. Vince breathed life into him. And I've learned a ton of stuff from the MMA watching them. They remind me of TNA. Ton of talent, but nobody's put that Frankenstein, nobody shot the monster and breathed life into the characters. I've learned a ton from MMA, and I get along great with Dana White. He's awesome.
Okay, and just personally, Hulk, how are you doing? I know you recently got engaged. I saw a video on TMZ. Are you in a happy place now? Obviously, it's been well documented your past couple of years. You mentioned it. How are you mentally and spiritually and all that?
Well, brother, I'm so cool. It's ridiculous. I, you know, in a real short period of time, I lost everything. You know, I lost my family financially. I was destroyed. Just changed my thinking, brother. Instead of taking the left, I decided to take the right. And I move forward. I am every single creation in my head starts with your thought, because every thought is a creation. What you think about, you bring about. I've cleaned up all my thoughts. I'm positive. I'm not around anymore yelling and screaming and heavy drinking, no craziness. And for 2 years now, I've been hanging with my girl Jennifer, you know, my kids love her, you know, but Brooke and Nick are down here with me now. My kids love her to death and everything. You know, I'm actually having a chance. You know, this is like the second half of the game, brother. And with my head clear and with pure intentions and not holding grudges against people. I'm in a great place, and I just can't wait for the second half of the game, brother. I'm really excited about this team and anything.
And by the way, what do you think of Bret Hart coming back at the same time? Do you find that interesting, just given his history with Vince?
I think it's awesome. I think it's great. I think that's another win for us. I think, you know, being able to talk to Spike TV and getting a chance to go up against the monster and Spike TV putting us on Monday nights and letting us pick this, you know, having the fans, they're going to have to make a choice on that night. And I think that's a victory for us. The fact that Vince would do something he swore he would never do, bring Bret Hart back, you know, because I was originally supposed to host the Monday Night Raw in Madison Square Garden a couple of weeks ago, and then they wanted to shoot an angle with me and Vince and bring me back into the whole fold. So I think Bret Hart coming back, I'm happy for Bret. From what I've heard, you know, I've heard the grapevine through some of his family members, because I'm friends with him, that he's excited about coming to Raw. That's all he talks about is coming back. So I think he's got it back in his blood, and I think that's a great victory for us that they had to bring Bret Hart back to go against us. That's another victory for us. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm very happy for Bret. I didn't want to see him always be bitter about the business.
All right, Hulk, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck to you. As someone who watched you for many years, a pleasure to talk to you for the first time.
Hey, brother, thank you so much, and I hope you're watching January 4th.
Will do. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you, brother.